So then the second one last week was in chapter 2, in which Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and his dream was about the great statue, and you know, Daniel interpreted it, and that we find from that chapter the sovereignty of God, that God directs the course of nations, and you know, it's all part of fulfilling a divine plan. So we see that in Daniel's interpretation, or in you know, interpretation of the statue. Chapter 3, we're not doing. It's skipping chapter 3. It's one of my favorite.
Why?
Why? I don't know. They just said, we will not be studying chapter 3. You know, it's their fault. I like chapter 3. I studied this lesson. I'm not making up another one. Yeah. We can do 3. Well, I'll do 3. Bye, Jose! So chapter 3 is one of my favorite, the three Hebrew children being thrown into the fiery furnace. And again, they're always, these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel are always having to prove themselves to the king. And the king ends up seeing how the God of the Hebrews is greater than all the gods of the Babylonians. The Babylonians are polytheistic. They mean they have many, many gods, and multiple gods. They have many gods, little short guys run around. Did you like that? I thought it was funny. But anyhow, they have many gods, multiple gods. And so whenever Daniel and the three Hebrew, call them children, three Hebrew teenagers, whenever they won't bow down, they see, you know, number one, Daniel interprets the vision, tells them what the dream is, and tells them the interpretation. There's no other god but your God. Then the three Hebrew the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace. And the king said, didn't we so throw three in there? I see four. And still, he's impressed. But chapter 4, we have Nebuchadnezzar having witnessed these dynamic revelations given to him by Daniel and Shadrach. You would think that whatever Daniel would tell him, he would listen to. Well, humility was not a common trait of kings. So the kings often ruled with an iron fist, and they thought themselves to be gods, you know. So it was very little that could interfere with that, because whatever they wanted, they could do. And if they wanted to kill somebody, they could kill somebody. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was one of the he was the first king. He was the first one to rule over the then known world. So he's quite an influential individual, because he has no rivals. And he was, in one of the ideas, he is tempted to exalt himself and put himself in a position of God. And I think that, and that's in his mind, he puts himself in a position of God. And we see how that in our world, we have many rulers, and some of them consider themselves to be gods, and they rule by fear and intimidation, and whoever is against them, they just eliminate. And yes. Yeah, but pharaohs are. Yeah. Yeah, they're the, they called them, worshiped them as gods, Ra, and Ra, the sun god, whatever. Yeah, so the Egyptians thought themselves to be gods. But you caught me off guard there. I'm trying to remember. Did the pharaohs come before the Babylonian Empire? Did Egypt... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's way before. Yeah, that wasn't in my train. My train is only on a certain track. Yeah, I just somebody pulled the tracks apart. You know, train can't function, traps go apart, they just kind of sit down on the ground there. Well, anyhow, Daniel chapter 4, verses starting at verse 5. Actually, we should actually start at verse 4, but we'll catch up. Nebuchadnezzar, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree, bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. So evidently, in verse 4, it says that Nebuchadnezzar was at rest, and he was flourishing as a king. He had no problems. You know, he's in control. His kingdoms are growing and everything in the royal palace. You know, it's life is easy. But in the midst of this prosperity, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And this dream disturbed him very greatly. And so much so that he called in all of his wise guys, the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. And these were kind of all the different types of wise men, which we spoke of last week. And he brought them in to interpret this dream. Now, in that time, and sometimes people today, you know, to interpret your dreams, you know. What was the one? It was a joke, but I can't remember it all, so I'll talk to you later. But, it's a funny dream. I just can't remember it. Focus. Me. Yeah. Jeez. But at last, verse 8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me. So all the other wise individuals of the realm were there, and they couldn't interpret his dream. So Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. So, a couple of things here. Belteshazzar is, what is it? It is one of the Babylonians' deities, meaning his name, the deity of one of the Babylonians is Bel. And Belteshazzar, may Bel protect his life. So they've given, Nebuchadnezzar has given this name to Daniel, Belteshazzar. So may the god Bel take care of you and protect you. So through these previous encounters with Daniel, the king has grown to trust Daniel and puts him as greatest among the magicians and so of the wise individuals. And what else we have here? So Daniel, though, is different than all the other ones because his focus, you know, the other magicians and so on, they had different ways they could conjure up things and many gods they prayed to and did everything to try and come up with what the dreams were and what they meant. And whenever Daniel was not troubled by any secret, that's what it says. Daniel was not troubled by any secret. And one of the characteristics of Daniel is that he is filled with the spirit of the holy God. Right? So it says, the Holy God. So the Spirit of the Holy God. So Daniel is one who has the Spirit of God upon him, and he is not troubled. No secret troubles him. So whenever the New Testament says that the Prince of Peace, you know, is Jesus Christ, and that the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your heart and minds, garrison your heart and mind, so that the troubles that we face are don't trouble us, you know. So we're able to face, it doesn't say there'll be no troubles come nigh thy dwelling. No, it says that the troubles that trouble the earth do not trouble you, because you're safe and secure in that position in Christ. When faced with the mystery, Daniel does not get upset, distressed, or worried. We should put that on a plaque. He trusts in the Lord who is able to reveal the mysteries. Every time, this is one thing about the scriptures, that when the Bible speaks of mysteries, it is that which is to be revealed. Okay, so a mystery in scripture is something that is hidden that only God can reveal. And it is in the mystery that anytime God speaks the scripture, speaks of a mystery, means there is coming a revelation of it that'll be revealed. So it isn't like you have, you know, something that you can be troubled over and God will hide it from you. You know, it's not like that. So what else? So even though the king says, explain to me the vision of my dream and its interpretation, he is asking Daniel for the interpretation only. Unlike the encounter of chapter 2 when he wants to know, tell me the dream and the interpretation. So the king was using the word vision with the meaning of revelation. Therefore, his command might be taken as, tell me what the dream reveals in its full meaning. Okay? So, Daniel's not perplexed. I mean, he's not troubled with this whole thing. God is with Daniel, and he's able to go into the king, and, you know, the king has power to throw him in the lion's den, yeah? But that's a different chapter. So, tell me what this dream reveals, all right? Now, you can have questions. Okay, you can't now. Yeah, you can have questions. Does anybody have questions about coronavirus? Everybody has questions. Well, is that a mystery? Is this one of the plagues of the book of Revelation? See, I'm getting off track, but I just for a purpose. Is this one of the plagues of the book of Revelation? At this moment, I don't think so. And again, I said I don't think so because, 50%, this is the statistics that I read. 50% of the people who have this virus or get this virus will be like a common flu or whatever, sneeze, sniffles, things like that. 38% will be sick, and 15% there's 15 or somewhere in there that get, you know, of that 15% or 38 and whatever the difference is, 88, so there's 12%. Of that 12% that remain, 6% will get pneumonia, and somewhere around 3-4% will die. All right, so that's it. And the people who get to the point of dying, and this is what I just read the other day, 3-4% to get to the point of dying, they are generally people who have respiratory ailments and things. And one of the things that we continue to always focus on is hand washing, because this virus is like whenever you sneeze, the particles that come out of your nose, the mist part, that's what spreads the disease. So if somebody coughs and sneezes around you, hold your breath, grab your handkerchief, put it over your mouth and breathe. Don't want to take in, then go wash your hands and your handkerchief. So always be washing your hands. And those masks, they say, if you are sick, the mask will protect others, but the mask won't protect you from getting it because the masks are, when you're breathing, they will become moist and the germs or the whatever it is, and that moisture will stay alive on that mask, and when you touch it and then you rub your eyes, you got it. So that's just what I heard.
What's
Right. Right. No. This is a disease that these people somehow got transferred from an animal to a person. Now, whether the person was bitten or ate the raw meat of this animal or something, they don't know. But it's interesting, the hotel, do you read this one? The hotel where they had taken all the people who were quarantined, it collapsed. It just collapsed, and they don't know why. Yeah, they just blew it up is what they did. And the other one, in theory, well, the doctors, now this is what I was told. I couldn't find this anywhere. But the doctors who came out, and the scientists who came out with this whole thing, they all disappeared. No. They weren't allowed to talk about it. Yeah, it's China. There is no, China's, you have no rights. I'm getting there, dear. She's all upset at me, huh? You know? Well, no, it's right now, this is what you read on the news or on the internet, okay? The news on the internet said that the hotel where they were quarantined, there's a picture of it destroyed. That the statistics are from the NHO, National Health Organization, that they're the ones who state that it's, you know, talking about 3 to 4% of people who will die from this, and about 8% of everybody gets very, very ill, and it is people who have respiratory problems. That's what the NHO said. Okay. Now, what happened to the doctors? I don't know. That's hearsay. All right, but when we look at Nebuchadnezzar is a ruler who has absolute authority. And God was able to reach that individual. So can the ruler of China be reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, what happens with Nebuchadnezzar, it isn't Daniel who goes in and witnesses to him. He has a dream upon his bed that scares him half to death, or 90% death. He's scared. He's frightened. He wants to know. So he has a dream from God. So can these people in leaders in other countries, can they come to know God, and they are in supreme control and they rule out Christianity? It doesn't matter what they rule out. God is God and he can do whatever he pleases. And so he can reach the leaders of China and North Korea and anywhere else in the world. God can reach them by dreams and visions and whatever. So most of the time they are moved by their own fears. So tell me, the king says, tell me what the dream reveals in its full meaning. So thus were the visions of mine head into my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong. The height thereof was reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of the earth. So this is a big tree. Its influence is in the entire then known world. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. This is the faith he has in Daniel. Okay? So, God has place strategic people around the world. I remember one of the missionaries. When China was closed, absolutely closed, people prayed and they told this was their testimony, that God told them that they should study and Chinese, and that they should know the language, and they should, you know, be ready to go. Well, there was no way that China was going to be opened. But when the door opened to go in and teach English, and to teach different things. These missionaries were ready because they had already done the schooling. They had already prepared themselves for the day it would open. They were gone. I think within a couple of weeks, they were in China. So God is able to work through people and to prepare us for what is ahead. So as he lay sleeping on his bed, the large tree reached the sky, and so on. All living creatures fed themselves from it and enjoyed its fruit, and he saw a watcher. Now, the watcher is the one who came from heaven and commanded the tree to be destroyed. Only a stump remained. A watcher then decreed that his heart should be changed from that of a human to that of a beast, and seven times should pass over him. So the tree is cut down until seven times pass over. Now, this seven times, whenever I remember back in, when I was in school a few years ago, seven times meant they interpret that as 7 years. But in this commentary, it talks 7 days, 7 months, or 7 years. And they talk about how that 7 years is really too long and 7 days is really too short. So it's more and they're saying it's more likely 7 months that King Nebuchadnezzar, that his heart and mind, he goes nuts, basically it. He is not able to function normally. He's not even capable of being around people. So he's like out in the pasture field eating grass. And that's the king of the then known world. The purpose of the tree's destruction was that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. So the understanding is that God is able to set up one and God is able to sit one up and take down another. So it doesn't matter who is in charge in the world. Hitler himself, he thought he was God, but, you know, he was taken down. Some rulers can be changed, you know. So that's the whole point of, and some of these viruses and things that are going on. I mean, we don't know their purpose, but as a world, people have been making fun of and mocking God. And what causes people to stop mocking God but fear? You know, fear of something that they can't control. So then people begin to question, is there some other force going on? Now, God didn't create this virus. This virus is something, well, I mean, you know, God didn't say, these animals had the virus. It's even on the Lysol bottles, right? Lysol bottles and Clorox have the name of this disease on it for corona. It's already on there. Yeah. Yeah, but it says that it's on there, but it's something that can be destroyed, so it's not telling you to drink Clorox. Okay. And bathing in hand sanitizer is not the answer either. That's what they were saying on the news. People were buying boxes of these hand sanitizers. Well, you know, hand sanitizers clean your hands. You don't have to wash in it. So anyhow. Yes. Right. And it's something we should do. We should buy some, put it around. Because we're always shaking hands, you know. Before you shake hands, did you sanitize your hands first? Elbows now, yeah. Knuckles. Until we get away from the other side of this virus. You don't certainly. That's one thing. Certainly, don't want the church to be a place where someone gets sick and then spreads it to other people. God help us. So the use of a tree as an image for the king is found in literature of the Mesopotamians, and in other parts of Scripture. So, this imagery that is presented here is not just here in Daniel, but it's in the other writings of that era. That's that era. It's in their writings. So Daniel's influence and the king's influence and how that it was carried out is greater than what just in what we see in our own text. A watcher who descends from heaven is a supernatural being sent as a messenger of God. The watcher is also called the Holy One, both terms used by the Jews to describe the angels of God. What else? All right, verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished, A-S-T-O-N-I-E-D, astoned, which is dazed. He's like, he sees this vision and he's dazed. And it says about an hour or for a moment or for a period of time. Though not just necessarily 60 minutes. But Daniel sees the interpretation of this and it's like, oh. It dazes him like, oh. Now, and earlier in the other verse it says that he's never troubled. Well, he's not troubled here. He's dazed by what has happened. You know, it's like, I never dreamt this would happen. And his thoughts troubled him. Not the trouble of afraid, but troubled him like, my, what's going to happen to the king, who's my friend? The king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble you. And he answered and said, my lord, the dream be of them that hate thee. So Daniel is saying, I want the interpretation of this dream to be upon your enemies. And also he's telling him, where is it else? Anyhow, he's trying to, it's almost like Daniel is letting the king know that although this is a vision of you and what's going to happen to you, there's still a chance that it will not. If you change your heart, you know, it's one of those, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So if the people of God will do this, God will do this. Well, in this token here, that is the tree is going to be cut down and sealed, and for seven passings over, whether it's 7 months, we'll say 7 months, and Daniel is saying, this is going to happen to you. But if you get rid of your pride and you keep it in check, these things won't happen, all right? Troubled him. Daniel is not troubled by the difficulty of the mystery. He is troubled by the implication of its meaning. Distressed by the impact the interpretation will have on Nebuchadnezzar. He doesn't want Nebuchadnezzar to go through all this, but he knows it can happen. It will happen. Daniel says, I wish the dream would happen to those who hate you, and I wish its meaning would go against your enemies instead of against you. But nevertheless, Daniel knows the dream is aimed directly at King Nebuchadnezzar. So, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Okay? You're an important guy. He lets him know of the prophetic warning, and the tree represents Nebuchadnezzar's empire. His greatness and his dominion reaches to the heavens. One of the other things that mentioned, and I never thought of it this way either, the Babylonian, remember the Tower of Babel? It's the same place, the Tower of Babel and the Babylonians, same kingdom. And the Tower of Babel, that was their pride. They were going to build a tower that reached the heavens, and they were going to, you know, face God. You know, it was in their pride that they were building this. And so it's in their, and Nebuchadnezzar is kind of has that same kind of pride. So Nebuchadnezzar, many centuries later, comes on this, and his ambitions are no less than those of his ancestors. What does it say here? His greatness reaches unto heaven, which may suggest he sees himself as a god. But the difference, I think, is that Daniel is there. Daniel is there to help him interpret the dream and what's about to happen. And then verse 25. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God has a plan. And, you know, this talks about there being, the end times. Talks about there being a great revival and a great falling away. You know, who's to say that God will not, while there are these rulers that are so anti-God, who's to say they won't come to know Christ? But we'll see. That's why we don't put anybody, let it up to God, pray for everyone, and pray that God would reach into their lives. God gives ruler leadership to whomsoever he will. And whereas they command to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So what's going on here is, your tree is going to be cut down, it's going to be sealed, but it's going to be given back to you. Now, show me a king who's out of rule, out of leadership for 7 months, eating grass on a hillside, maintains his place in the kingdom. You know? Well, part of the miracle is, and part of the mission that lets us know this is of God, God takes him out, but God brings him back. When he receives an understanding that the God of heaven, the God of Daniel, is the one who is really over men on the earth. Nebuchadnezzar must have thought himself as a god. And Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel informs him that in the long run, the judgment on him would be for his benefit. The judgment upon Nebuchadnezzar is really for your benefit. Verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be lengthening of thy tranquility. So Nebuchadnezzar has everything going for him, and Daniel's telling him to, you know, don't look at the poor as, you know, slaves to you and to the kingdom. But he counsels him that he should repent. The repentance called for here consists of replacing his sinful behavior with righteous behavior and replacing his iniquities with acts of mercy toward the poor. You know, what was it? If God wanted them rich, he'd have made them rich. So they're poor, so anyhow, that's not the right attitude. Well, verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. So a whole year has passed. Well, Daniel, he just didn't know what he was talking about. And his words fell by the wayside. And Nebuchadnezzar walked into his palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I am wonderful. I am great. I did all of this and nobody ever helped me. And then in the same hour, immediately, the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. He just went nuts. And we don't know what it was. And did eat the grass as oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. So he was scratching at the dirt, eating worms and grass and whatever he could. And the heavenly sentence is carried out in the very hour. So he's driven from men, would drive him from men, but they are not identified who put him out. His appearance, behavior changed so suddenly that people in his own palace didn't recognize him. So he totally lost it. Verse 34, at the end of the days, the seven, whatever, 7 days, 7 months, 7 years, at the end of these days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So he allowed his circumstances to cause him to look to God. Now, he had had several occasions to know who the correct God was. You know, the God of the three Hebrew teenagers, when they, in Daniel, when they would not eat of the meat offered to idols, he knew of the God of the three Hebrew teenagers thrown in the fiery furnace. He knows of the God of Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den. He knows all of this. And so finally, he looks to that. That's the God he finds. His kingdom and dominion are from generation to generation. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. So he returns, and he's able to go back to the palace. His wisdom has increased, and he had his fingernails cut. And his feathers plucked, maybe they fell off. I was thinking that his hair would have grown like feathers, you know, he's almost like an animal. So he changed. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. I, in my own assumptions, is that if it wasn't for Daniel, he probably would have never gotten back into his throne, because Daniel would have known this is only temporary and the king is coming back. He'll be back in seven months. You know, king will be back. You better not, you better do what you're supposed to be doing in your positions of leadership, you know. So I think the guys who they were afraid of Daniel and his God, because when they went against Daniel and the three Hebrew teenagers, they lost. So, any thoughts? Well, Daniel was the first in his command. So Daniel was the chief magistrate of all the magistrates. So he was like the vice president, I think. You know, that's how I see it. And he maintained the rule of everything. And he didn't step in to take the king's place, but he kept all the people in place. And they knew better than to argue with Daniel's God, because if they did, they ended up as toast or lunch meat. I think that was funny. Lunch. Don't laugh at your own jokes, you know. Prideful. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so in our life, people can change with God's help. You know, doesn't matter where we came from, doesn't matter what circumstances we were raised in or what we're in, what circumstances we're in, that God can change the person. And when he changes us from the inside out, so, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar had to get to a point where he was humble enough to receive the truths that Daniel was telling him about his God. And I'm sure Daniel spoke to him of the God of Israel, but, you know, him, Nebuchadnezzar being a polytheist, you know, that's just one, Daniel, that's just your opinion. There are many, many other gods, you know, people today. Well, Christianity is just one way to God. No, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way but through Christ. That's what Jesus said. It isn't what we say. And he says that. So, anything else? Any other thoughts? So did everybody go to bed an hour early last night? In order of putting the clock ahead? Well, all right, any other thing? We'll close. Father, we thank you that you watch over and keep us, and Lord, for the lessons we learn through your word and through the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that they continue to teach us, that we be humble ourselves before you, and that, God, it is your purpose and your will, and all the gifts that we have and all the things that we have and the blessings that we have are all from you. And so we thank you. Thank you for entrusting us with your blessing and with your spirit and your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, Fall of Babylon.